Blog Talk Radio.
Sophisticated gorillas. Hey man, I need a better car. I need a better crib. I need better insurance for me and my kids. I need a better job, cause I need better pay. It's gonna take better bread for me to make a better way. I need better water to flow through my faucet. I dress to impress, so I need a better closet. I love my family, I love my friends, but the haters get you paper, so I need more of them. I don't do it for the fame, but in this rap game, man, being popular is like the only way to win. So my hooks are powerful with dope ass lyrics. Man, all I need now is for the whole world to hear it. Rappers be hating, no, everyone's a critic. It's scared to admit it, that deep down they fear it. My boys in the streets say I need better promotion, but when the pastor preaches, say I need better devotion. Man, I just wanna sail every ocean, rock a couple boats and create some locomotion. Man, I just wanna fly to Philly skies, sipping on sake till I get the Japanese eyes, man. Cause I'm all about my business, man. Yeah, I think I need a better business plan. Nowadays, you can catch me in a suit and tie. Don't get it twisted, fly tie, stir out or die. We can take it to the streets. We can take it back to wearing black boots with fatigues, whoa. Cause I always been a soldier. I'm in it to win it, no limit, boy, I thought I told ya. Yeah, yeah, I thought I told ya.
Okay,
sophisticated
COD,
come on.
Going through it, sort of like an ongoing movement. And my mom's knew it, she tried to read me songs through it. In and out of jail, no bail, my bond's stupid. Can't explain the pain, so I write a song through it. They say the streets talk, real niggas respond to it. You can tell by how I walk, got a bond with the music. Where your mind at? Find time to lose it. My paradigm's a sign and shine, I'm translucent. The proof is, gotta decipher what the truth is. And you see it through that thug eyes, it's ruthless. And you see it through the beam mouth, it's toothless. Won't you tell me, can you really see the truth, kid?
They brain feed us, they can't reach us, them lame teachers. They wanna be us, the first lady was named Jesus. The game need us, I bang heaters, they can't see us. Plus I promise God to spread love till the pain leaves us. Yeah, I hold it down, but my G's up. What? I'm from the ground, I build my G's up. Duh, cause this is peace, put the peace up. Plus I'm trying to eat, we can feast, put your feet up. You weak as fuck, if you sleeping, get up. Teachers corrupt, plus the preachers still compete for a buck. And if you speaking too much, you get easy. Cause when I let the chopper go, look like I'm beefing it up. I can't lose if I'm winning. Help with the 22 spinning. You see the crew sitting, come through with the roof missing. The truth is I'm sinning, rocking the true religion. New blueprint vision in a blue suit chilling.
Yeah,
and I'm killing them.
Such a glorious event. Let's go. Una vida mayor, una vida mayor. The good energy over here, we living better than y'all. I wake up and do what I love up on this spiritual course. Running circles around you fuckers, got y'all niggas exhausted. Nah, it ain't luck, homie, blame it on the cuff. Plus the flow like titanium, baby, it never rust. Now you find me in the cut, most of vices, I gave them up. Now when I step up on the scene, most demons, they run them up. So bitch, you better duck, not even laws are enough to place a nigga in the trash and try to call that shit love. Don't be a dud, set fire if you search for that bug. Try to then call. Cause that's all, I already know what it was. But yo, I'm not one to judge like you catch a charge. Cause I'm the enemy of the state and the sector is large, get it? A lot of haters won't admit it, live gifted. I can tell by my son's shoe size that time is ticking. A few spies speak true lies about my mission. Zero dark 30 accomplished, now how you living? Because I live and let it be, my motto's longevity. I'm on mine, so I ain't hearing what you said to me. When y'all rhyming, y'all having difficulty. Technically I'm hot, crack the clock pop with this verbal recipe. Such a secret how you boys stacking paper off this underground flow like slave statues in Grenada. Hooray for us to better living. Nigga, did you vote or what? Now fuck the system. When I depart, I bet they miss them. Gone, but back again. I'm dying a better death to live long. I admit it.
Switch production.
What's going on? I'm telling you what's going on. It is 10:05 on a Wednesday night, and guess who's back on the telephone, y'all? We're going to do it live what we do is what we do on Sign Out Farms. I know it's been a while. I know y'all miss me, but I appreciate y'all hanging in there with me. Just a lot of things going on right now in my life, and I totally appreciate people concerned and asking, you know, where the show is, if it's still going. That means that, you know, the Lord has blessed me, and he's moving. It ain't me. He ain't got nothing to do with me. So I just like to thank Jesus, first of all. You know how we do it. We keep it real when we on this show. We talk nothing but Jesus on this show. So I like to give a special thanks to my family, my girls especially, my son, and my beautiful wife, and all my friends that I've been with for the last 3 months who've been supporting me mentally, friends with the friendships and the calls and the emails and just the encouragement through my time of what's going on. And I'm telling you, whenever we get to a point in this show where we can broadcast on a consistent basis like I was doing earlier this year, at the first beginning of the year, I will be so happy. But right now, I'm in transition right now. So I would like to apologize for all the uncertainties, I should call it, because of my life and what's going on. So, man, I tell you, I've been having a blast. And so we're going to get started with this. Like we you know, that's just how we do it. We do it right on Sign Off. You know what I'm saying? And it's about love. It's about compassion. What we do for one another in this world. I can't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow it's an open show because I don't have anything scheduled, and I'm going to ask for some. But I think I have an idea of exactly what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, because. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been a lot of craziness. I'm talking some craziness that's been going on while I have been off the air. And you know the devil is moving. He is putting his claws in this, okay? So listen, this is how we do it. Look, this is the platform. You can find me on Facebook at george.mango.904. You can also find me on Twitter at SoundOff. 97413. That's SoundOff 97413. If you want to hook up on Twitter or you want to do Facebook, like I said, you can go to SoundOff Farms. Also have a website you can go to. It's soundofffarms.com.org.net. That's 3 F's and an S. If you have any questions, you can always feel free to call in 347-989-1014. And we're going to kick it with Ephesians 6:6-13 like we do it. You know, it's how we do it. Not with eye service and man pleasing, but the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of the persons with them. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, we take upon the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having all done to stand, and let the church say amen. So we're going to get this kick started like we do. Once again, I say thank you for all the people who are going to listen and is listening currently. I know it's late for people on the East Coast. Man, I got a lot going on, so I'm glad I'm praising Jesus that I'm allowed to do this right now in my space and time. So tonight, we will be talking about football, one of my passions in life. I tell you, one of my passions in life. God's blessed me with this. So we're going to talk about defense, okay? We're going to talk about defense. We're going to talk about the fundamental skills and the basic defensive fronts and the play calling and the essential built blocking schemes for defense, okay? It is very essential that these young athletes understand the basic. I'm talking about 101 defense, okay? 101. 101. Listen, you can take these skills and you can apply them to the NFL. They're so basic. But with things going on right now, you got to be caught up with the times. You also have to be able to be efficient in your teaching of your defensive skills and techniques if you're a coach or if you're a parent that are trying to understand what football is. Understanding defensive fronts and alignments and coverages are pivotal in this 101 defense. This is why I'm going over this. Being able to have your players interact with these schemes is important to the performance on the field. So if they don't really know what's going on, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, they're going to be lost when they get out there. I don't care if they've never played a down in their life or if they've played 4 years. If they don't understand, just like the basic fundamentals of reading, if you don't understand the basic fundamentals of reading, you won't be able to read. Okay, so we start talking about these defensive techniques and skills, right? So there's 2-point stands for the linebackers and the defensive backs, 3-point stands or 4-point stands for defensive linemen. The front tackles execute all the positions. The angle tackles execute at all positions. There's a swim move, the rip move, technique that you can use. There's also a bull rush technique that we'll talk about. Shedding the block. Listen, I'm telling you, if you do not shed blocks on defense, you are going to be pulverized on film day, okay? And once again, parents and people who are listening to the broadcast, listen, I'm going to explain this to you thoroughly about exactly what I'm talking about. Backpedaling, turning, and running execution of the defensive back. I want to start with tackling, because this thing has been a plague in the last couple of months. I mean, NFL and college especially, there's a rule called targeting, okay? So let me explain to you exactly what targeting is. I mean, everybody knows what targeting is when you're talking about non-football. That means that you're going after something or someone specifically, okay? So let's talk about this one rule before we start about talking about tackling. First we already knew the horse collar rule, and we ain't seen horse collar in decades. But, you know, there's some people out there teaching some bad techniques, and you got to get them down, okay? So horse collar has been introduced in the last couple of years. This targeting rule, okay. When they talk about the defensive players, I'm for the movement of protecting athletes, student athletes. I'm in that corner. I don't want to see anybody get hurt by all means. But when it comes to a defensive player making a tackle, they have made the targeting spot so small that it is very difficult to have a sound tackle. I mean, you will hear this in the NFL and college all the time, and they're talking about it now. And the reason why is if you've ever shot a rifle or shot bow and arrow, of course, or done anything that has to do with crosshairs. And when we say we have you in our sight, and that's basically a circle with the cross in it. And what you're doing is you're what they call gig lining, or lining up the proper way in order to attack your target, okay? Now, when it comes to football, it depends on the angle that you're coming at, okay? So when we're talking about we're about to go make a tackle, and the running back is bent over because he just went through a hole, and the free safety or the strong safety is coming down from their two position, and they're going what they either call filling the alley or filling the hole or filling the gap. And they're coming, and they're going straight for that running back, whether it be a fullback, tailback, quarterback, what have you. Their target is from the chest to the waist. That's from the chest, the top the top of the clavicle, which is your collarbone, to the pelvis area. That's their target. Now, if the target is bent over, that means that the target now has shielded their target area. So thus the defensive back or linebacker or defensive end, lineman, what have you, have to adjust to the target. Either they have to go lower than the person that is running the ball, meaning they tackle at the legs, or they run through the player, meaning sometimes players go helmet-to-helmet contact, which we know is never right. You should never tackle or hit helmet-to-helmet. But in this instance, this defensive back must lower his shoulder lower than the helmet of the opponent, which will also cause the running back to run either over the defensive back or cause the defensive back to run through the running back. Okay. Now, once we start talking about this more, I'll explain to you about more in depth with the targeting. But just to get that out there, so we can talk about this when we're talking about tackling. Okay. And once again, like I said, I've coached and we have practiced tackling for a long time. Some people choose not to tackle in practice. Some people choose to tackle in practice. It just depends on what system that you're feeling that you're comfortable in. But when a player is going to make a tackle, once again, their target area is from the collarbone to the pelvic area, running through the player, hat or helmet on the football, grasping the player, wrapping them up completely, and running through them. And when I say run through them, I mean that you continuously move your legs until the runner is on the ground. That is just a straight-up easy tackle. Now, if you're tackling at an angle, it's different. Now, when you're coming at this angle, let's say that we've talked about this before. We're running a sweep or a toss, which would happen to be a running to either the 8-hole or the 9-hole. And you have a cornerback or a strong safety or even an outside linebacker who is flexed is coming to make that tackle on that back in the backfield. He has got to run at an angle. So when you're running at the angle, it depends on the body language of the running back. If the running back's helmet is pointed towards the sideline, you want to, because now he's made his body a very slender target, you have to engage, once again, the whole silhouette from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet is your target. There is, because it's like taking a pillow and you're laying flat on it. If you take the pillow and turn it vertical, now the pillow is vertically smaller than it is when it's horizontal. And so basically for you ladies and gentlemen out there, is what I'm saying is now the offensive player has made his target very minimal, so the defensive player has to adjust as far as to the body position. Once again, the aim is to tackle from the collarbone to the pelvic area, but because he has given you a minimum base to work with, you also want to go for the legs as well. Because once again, if you tackle at the legs, you do never leave your feet. If you're teaching, the defensive player never leaves his feet. He will engage the offensive player with his head up, his schedule in order to go through the and I wouldn't say parallel because that is not correct assessment all the time. It just depends on the angle. And there's so many different angles. You just have to you have to teach your children. Your children are the student athlete to make adjustments and teach them different angle styles. Okay. I'm not going to go in so much depth with that, but it's important that you understand that. Okay. So now we're going to move into the two-point stance, the four-point stance, and the three-point stance. We've already talked about four-point stance and three-point stance in offensive position, but these things are a little different, okay? So if you're in a four-point stance, you are more than likely, and I said more than likely, you're playing in an inside technique, which would be around a nose guard or defensive tackles. You're inside the box. Now, when we're talking about boxes, we'll get to that in a second. But remember, I'll be using verbiage that may not be familiar with you. If you don't understand that, please go back and listen to the broadcast. And, you know, shoot me an email or give me a call and try to find out exactly what I'm talking about, okay? So if you're in a four-point stance, you have your left hand and your right hand, and all they're both on the ground. Well, sometimes we like to see the full body extension where the body is parallel. The back is parallel to the ground. That's a very decent four-point stance with your head up. If you want to get lower with that, that's perfectly fine as well. There's different depths within the four-point stance. But if you're gonna be in a four-point stance, more than likely, like I said, you're gonna be either in a zero technique, a one technique, two technique, or a three technique. Okay. Somewhere within that, in that frame. If you are in a three-point stance, a three-point stance is just one of your hands are on the ground. And what I tell my kids is if you are on the right side of the ball and you're on defense, if you're on the right side of the ball, your right leg should be kicked back, your right hand should be free, your left hand could be on your knee, or it could be, you know, be it whatever. The reason why you want to keep your right hand free is because you tackle with your right hand and you take on blocks with your inside shoulder. If you're on the right-hand side of the ball, if you're on the left-hand side of the ball, which would be more than likely over the tight end side of the ball, you want to make sure that your left leg is cocked back, your right leg is kicked in, your left hand is ready because it's outside, it's closer to the sideline, to the left sideline, as you will. And you're taking on blocks with your inside shoulder, okay? Now, I'm going to talk about a couple things as far as defeating blocks, okay? If you are inside, well, let me first bring up because these are important. So we're going to look at this from an angle that people will understand and people will know. Okay. So now, when we start talking about the defensive line, okay, it's important that you understand offense deals with numbers and defense deals with alphabets. Then when you start talking about techniques, it becomes numbers. But let's talk about this, okay? So we're going to run, for the scenario, we're going to have two tight ends. So right now we're going to have seven people on the line. You're going to have from left to right, you're going to have tight end, tackle, guard, center, guard, tackle, tight end. All right? Seven people on the line. The two A-gaps are located between the center's right hand and left hand. The center right hand and the guard's left hand is the A-gaps. The center's left hand and the guard's right hand are the other A-gap. Then you have the B-gaps, which is on the left side, looking at the ball. You're in defense. You're looking at the ball. So the left side, you're looking guard and tackle. The guard and tackle, between the guard and the tackle, the guard's left, guard's right hand and the tackle's left hand, that's the B-gap. The other side is the guard's left hand and the tackle's right hand. That's the B-gap. C-gaps are between the tackle and the tight end. You have the tackle's right hand and the tight end's left hand. That's the C-gap. On the right-hand side, you have the tackle's left hand and the tight end's right hand. Outside the tight end are the D-gaps, okay? Are the D-gaps. D-gaps, okay? So when we start talking about gaps and who are responsible for these gaps, we're talking about defensive linemen as of right now. There are such things as called what we call techniques. And you'll hear, if you're listening to SportsCenter, or you're looking at the draft, or you're looking at the NFL Network, and you're hearing Warren Sapp talk about the difference between a 5 technique and a 3 technique, which he played, or 6 technique. Just depends of either a 3 or a 5 technique. What he's referring to is the actual gap or being head up. Now, I don't want to confuse you. Okay. So when we start talking about the A-gap, just like on offense, it goes from 0. It goes from 0, and it goes to even numbers, and it goes all the way out. Now, the rule of thumb is, if you are a defensive lineman and you are playing head up, that means your helmet is directly over the offensive player's helmet. That is considered an even shade or even technique, okay? So if you are nose guard and you are playing a 0 technique, you will be head up. You will be head up over the center. If you are playing a 2 technique, you will be playing head up over the guard, left and right. It doesn't matter. You'll be playing a 2 technique. If you are playing over the tackle, left or right, you will be playing what they call a 4 technique. Okay? If you are head up on the tight end, if it's double tight, if you are head up on the tight end, that is considered to be what they call a 6 technique. If you are in the gaps, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in the gaps, you are now playing what they call the odd numbers, okay? So if you're playing in the A gap, you're playing a 1 technique. If you're playing in the A gap, you're playing a 1 technique. If you're playing in the B gap, you're playing a 3 technique. If you are playing in the C gap, you are now playing a 5 technique. If you are outside of the tight end, you are now playing what they call a 9 technique or a wide 9. Just depending on how wide it is, define whether it's a 9 or not. So it's important that you understand these things. Now, when you start talking about the eyes, and I'll get to that in a second because those are very important too. The eyes are defined as inside. So if your coach wants you to play a four eye, so you know automatically you're head up on him, right? He wants you to play an inside four technique, which would be on the inside hand of the tackle. That means you will play close to the three gap or close to the guard, but you will not be in the gap. You will be on the either the right hand of the tackle or the right, or the left hand of the tackle or foot. Left foot, left hand. Just depends on what your coach tells you. And I don't want to confuse you, so I won't get into too much depth, but it's very important that you understand when we start talking deeper into when we start talking about deeper into defensive coverages or defensive formations or defensive stunts or defensive blitzes, it is important to understand where the defensive lineman will be in regards to how the defensive lineman and the linebacker will react in order to do a stunt. So it's important that you understand these concepts, and that's why I had to stop myself to give you an idea of what we're talking about, because it's about to take off real fast. And once again, if you have any questions, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, that is perfectly fine. You don't have to. You do not have to know everything that I'm saying. But it's important for you, if you are a spectator of football, that you understand the game and understand the safeties and the rules and why we do this or why we do that as coaches or administrators to the sport, okay? And so that I'm just trying to give everybody an equal playing field to understand it, okay? Now, if you are a defensive lineman, there are a couple of ways you can shed a block or get through the offensive lineman. One would be what we call a redwood bull rush, is when you go and you fire off the ball, you go from the 3-point stands or the 4-point stands, and you go and you just punch through and I'm not talking about a punch with like fighting. You're going to take both of your hands and you're going to push them forward on the outside shoulder pads of the offensive lineman, and you're going to butt them with your helmet like a headbutt, and then you're going to continue to push, and you're going to push that player into the backfield. Then you have what they call a swim move. Now, the swim move is just like any other swim move, like I've talked about on offense, where the defensive player will pick a side, and what they will, if they're going to swim to the offensive player's right-hand side, what they will do is they will put their left hand on the hip of the left side of the offensive lineman. They have to swipe them really hard to push them going to the opposite way of where they're going. So if you're going to go to the right, you have to swipe them to the left, and then you're going to take your free hand or your outside hand or your inside hand, and you're going to come and you're going to swim over his shoulder pad or his helmet in order to make that. Then there's another technique called what they call a rip technique, and basically what you're going to do is you're going to it's going to look like an uppercut, but what you're doing is you're going to shoot through the gap really quick, and then you're going to uppercut, and you're making your body skinny going through the hole under control once you get through the hole. Always remembering, depending on the play, you may run into certain problems, mainly being pushed in the back or something like that. So you just have to understand some stuff, okay? Now, let me tell you this about defensive football players. Now, most what they say, and I just say what they say because, I've been knowing her for a while too, and I recognize it as well. What you find is you find athletes who who are very aggressive or who have a passion to just cause all kinds of disruption, more than likely they're going to be playing our defense. You know, I mean, not necessarily like they can't handle the complexity of the offense, but most of the time you'll find defensive players, especially at a younger level, not being able to comprehend the complexity of an offense, and so they move them to positions where they don't necessarily have to think. All they have to do is react to the play. So it's kind of like telling throwing. It's kind of like playing frisbee with your dog. If you throw the dog the frisbee, the dog knows that he needs to go run and get the. You know, I hate to use that analogy, but it's basically you tell if you're a nose guard and you got a kid who just is quick and he has no regards for anything, you get him playing nose guard, and I'm telling you what, he'll shoot through the hole and make a whole lot of tackles. Of course, he'll get, they'll catch up with that, and they'll find a way to stop that. Okay. Now, let's talk about personnel groupings. And this is what I teach my kids. Defense is simple when it comes to formations. Okay, defensive formations are very simple. The first letter always represents the offense, the defensive lineman. The second number always represents how many linebackers there are. And then the third number represents how many defensive backs they are, okay? So if we're running a three-three, that means there's three linemen, there's three linebackers, right? Okay, and then that leaves us with five defensive backs. You have two defensive ends, one nose guard, you have a middle linebacker, a Sam linebacker, which stands for strong linebacker. You have a wheel linebacker, which is the weak linebacker who goes away from the call sign, which is away from the tight end. Then you have two cornerbacks, two safeties, and you can have additional corners, or you can put two more safeties in. It doesn't matter. It just depends on how you want to run your defense. But the point that I'm talking about is what personnel grouping are defensive formations, so everybody can understand what it is. So when they're talking about running a 4-3 stands for four linemen and three defensive backs. If you're going to run what they usually call a bear defense, it's a 52, or they'll say, okay, I want to run a 52, or I want to run a 51, or I want to run a 43 defense. That is what they're referring to. Some people like to put hyphens in their words. You actually can't see a hyphen, so that's why most people call it a 40-something, 43 or 42 or 33 or 34. The most popular one now that we see is the 34. We'll get into that shortly, okay? I want to explain to you some rules. These rules are very easy to remember, and always will stand true. The strong safety and the Sam linebacker, which stands for the strong linebacker, will always go to the tight end side. Always. There is no ands, ifs, or buts about it. They will. That is the rule for majority of a lot of youth football, and also a lot of high school football, and it also applies to colleges and NFL. The Sam linebacker, which stands for the strong linebacker, the strong safety, or the SS safety, will always go to the strong side, always go to the tight end. Now, you say, okay, George, well, what if there's two tight ends? Well, the call is based upon what we did in high school, and I can only reflect to what we did in high school and how I coach, and it works out. majority of quarterbacks, whether it's youth or NFL, are right-handed quarterbacks. Now, you'll have your left-handed quarterbacks for the majority, but majority of your quarterbacks are right-handed, so that means majority of the formations will be always be to the right. They may flip it every once in a while. That's okay. That's fine. But when it come out, the tight end will always be to left, always be to the right in some cases. So you look at if they have two tight ends. The rule of thumb that I tell my kids is that you always go to the right. We're going to call to the right. The reason why we call it to the right is because whoever is the tight end on the right-hand side is usually the best tight end on the field. If the tight end to the left is usually a second-string tight end or a third-string tight end or maybe even a fullback or H-back. So we will always declare to the tight end side to the right because he's the best on the field. Well, what happens if the tight end is flexed on one side and flexed on one side and then the tight end on the other side is not flexed and rolled up? Well, once again, it's the call on the coach. And the reason why you say that, the coaches usually say, okay, what are they running in order to outmaneuver the defense? Why is that tight end spread? If it is the number one tight end and he is spread, you must know your opponent. Is that tight end who's flexed out, is he able to catch passes? Is that tight end able to block on the outside? If all those answers are yes, you will always declare to that flex tight end who is the primary tight end. Now, if the primary tight end who is the number one tight end is on the other side and he is on the line next to the left guard, then more than likely your coach will say, okay, well, we're going to declare to the primary tight end, the tight end who is the number one tight end on a depth chart, because that means that the tight end to the other side that is flexed out is maybe a decoy or he's not a blocking tight end, but he is a receiving tight end, which would mean that the free safety or the real linebacker would be over that tight end because they pass to those to that side rather than their running strength, which is to the strong side tight end. Now, I know you said, George, what the heck did you just say? Just remember, if there is a tight end, the strong linebacker or the Sam linebacker will always go to the tight end side. The strong safety will always go to the tight end side. The free safety goes away from the tight end, so will the wheel linebacker. That's the rule. That's all you need to know. Now, let's talk about these linebackers. We're going to work from a 3-4 point of view right now because that's the latest, hottest craze right now. That means that there's three defensive linemen and four linebackers, ladies and gentlemen. So, now that we know that those three linemen on there, there's going to be one defensive end to the left, there's going to be a nose guard who's playing a center, and then there's going to be over the center, and then there's going to be a defensive end. There's going to be a weak linebacker to the right on the line next to the defensive end. And then on the left-hand side, then there's going to be another linebacker who is next to the defensive end on the left side, leaving two middle linebackers either in the A-gap or the B-gaps, okay? Now, you ask me what is the importance of you telling me this, George. Well, the importance of me telling you this is how everyone is lined up, okay? Now, we just went over techniques and what they meant. Once again, if you are a nose guard and you're playing a zero technique, you can play in either the A or B gaps, even in both A gaps, even if you are supposed to be head up. Just depends on what your coach wants or how he's calling it. Okay, so that means if you have a nose guard or a defensive nose, he will play both A gaps. If he is playing both A gaps, more than likely, the two middle linebackers are going to be playing in the B gaps. Okay? So that means that the defensive end will either be playing a three technique or he will be playing a five technique. This is the reason why it's so important that you understand these techniques. So if you take a piece of paper right now and draw center, guard, tackle, tight end on either side, and then you put 4-3, you put a 4-3 down, and you put nose guard in front of the center, then you have two defensive ends, and then you have two linebackers, Sam is on the left and Will is on the right. Now, if you look at that lineup, you have 1, 2, 3 personnel that's on the right-hand side of the ball, and then you have to count the nose guard again, 1, 2, 3. So now we've got these personnel that is across the line. That's the first line of defense. Now, when we start talking about where the defensive ends are going to play, we already know that usually defensive ends, if you're playing a 3-3 or you're playing a 4-3, the defensive ends are going to be kicked out and be playing a 9 technique, which is the outside shoulder of the tight end. It's a wide tight end. Now, once again, you know they're in a gap. So that's why, because it's odd. If they're playing a 6 technique, we're in a 3-4 right now. If we're playing a 6 technique, that means that the two defensive ends are going to be playing head up on the tight end. And that means that the two linebackers will be playing 9 techniques. So do you see how it all 10? The linebackers who were in the back are now in the front. The defensive line has shrunken and have been shoved in these different techniques or different positions. So now, if they're going to play a 6 technique, that means that they're going to be head up over the tight ends. Okay? If they're going to go further than that, because remember, the nose guard now has to take up 2 gaps, leaving the 2 linebackers to cover the two middle linebackers to cover both of the B gaps. So how do we help out? How do we help out the nose guard with the A gap, the B gap, and the C gap? Kind of hard to do, right? So now you have to say, okay, well, instead of playing a 6 technique defensive end, I want you to play either a 3 technique or a 5 technique, or you can even say, hey, listen, play a 4 or 4-I. Okay? So what you're doing is you're condensing the line and you're smudging it in. So the closer to the center you get, the closer the defensive linemen are. The wider they get, the wider the number, I mean, the larger the numbers they play, the wider they are, the gaps are. And this is what creates holes and gaps and easy for running plays to be so successful, depending on this defensive formation. So we're not even talking about schemes yet, because if you don't know the basics of how to line up, you can't even run a scheme, because first of all, you can't even stop the basic dives. You can't stop a basic ISO play. And those are very easy things to stop, but you have to be in a defense in order to stop it specifically, especially. Keep this in mind, ladies and gentlemen. If your children have not learned how to play chess, I would recommend that you buy them a chess set immediately if you want them to play football. If you want them to be good at football, buy them chess. You can buy them checkers, too, but that, you know, that's kind of, you know, elementary, but we're talking about somewhere. Because if you want to understand how football is played, football is played just like chess. Of course, you have your pawns, which is your offense or defensive line, however you look at it. And then you have your other pieces that are movable, which we would call skill positions, like receivers, tight ends, quarterbacks, running backs, and fullbacks. And so what you need to do is you need, in order for you to position yourself in order to gain more yards or score a touchdown, your offensive line or your pawns have to be specifically set up in ways in order to neutralize the opponent's way to their line. Hence, that's why it's the offensive, defensive line. Then you have to look at your bishops, your queens, and your kings, and your rooks, and your horses, and all those type of things. And you have to understand the maneuvers in which they move in order to move on the board. Now, most experts say you should be play either two or three moves ahead of your opponent in order to set them up in a position. So this is why some coaches run the same plays over and over and over again, because it's a repetitious thing. What you want them to do is to believe that you're going to run one play, but what you're doing is get them to be psychologically sucked in, and then you're going to go, and then you're going to attack them with the big thing. So that is the rule of the reason why your children need to know how to play chess, because chess will teach them how to play football in a sense of getting them to understand the complexity of what football could possibly be. This is why these coaches get paid millions and millions of dollars, because they're always constantly trying to be on the top of their game. They're always trying to out-coordinate either the offense or the defense. Okay? So now we've talked about the defensive linemen. Let's talk about these linebackers, okay? We're going to move, instead of playing a 3-4, well, let's stick with a 3-4. Now that these linebackers have have moved from the back, usually where they are, and now they have moved to the front line, you're adding additional skill positions. Linebackers usually don't get down in 3-point stands or 4-point stands, but in the 3-4, it's a possibility for them to get down, because you have more people on the line. But then why would you call it a 3-4 when the linebackers look like they are, you know, like a bare defense, you know? Just what they call it. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue theory over why they do it or not, because it's irrelevant. But what you want to do is you want to put now your more agile, athletic people on the starting line, rather than giving them opportunities to sit in the back and then lead. So it's easier for them to blitz on the outside and to attack than sitting them in the back like the 4-3, where the 4-3, where you got four linemen, and they're in that position, their only sole job is to attack the offensive line to keep linemen off of the linebackers, so the linebackers can flow and read and make most majority of the tackles, unless it's on an inside play. If it's on an inside play, then your inside people will make tackles. But in a 4-3, it's a basis of keeping the offensive linemen off of the linebackers. If the offensive point example is this. If you go back and you look at this is why I was so mad at this at the national championship last year with Notre Dame and Alabama. The matchup was the offensive linemen versus the great linebackers of Notre Dame, and as you could tell, the offensive line were all over the defensive linebackers were all over them. They couldn't shed blocks whatsoever. And that's where you want. We're about to start talking about shedding blocks. Because, listen, Teo could not get off of Fluker. Fluker had him all jacked up. Jones had him jacked up and everything. Because that they were allowing, you see, Saban's offense, Alabama's offense was allowing the linemen to come up the field, thus meaning if they go up the field, about time they go up the field because of the angle, the running back is already a couple steps ahead of them, and now the offensive linemen are on the what we call the second level. The first level is the defensive line. Second level is the linebackers. And if you can get past that second line, more than likely, if you're 6'3", 250 pounds running back, you're going to stumble all over those secondary guys because those guys aren't big. They're fast, but they're not big and strong, not like they are in the NFL. So that is the reason why defensive coordinators like to switch around the different personnel grouping when it comes to between 4-3 and a 3-4 and a 4-5 and a 5-3. Now, majority of the times, the bigger the line number, the closer you are to your end zone. That's basically what it says. The bigger the number, either you're trying to get the down and distance is like a yard, 2 yards, 3 yards, a half a yard, a quarter of a yard towards the first down, or you're inches away from touchdown. And so now the defensive coach says, hey, look, we need to get into a goal line, what they call a goal line defense, and you'll see six and seven defensive linemen on the line, two linebackers, because they're just trying to what we call stacking the box. And let's go back. Give you a definition about the box, okay? Now, when we're looking at this diagram again, the center being the center, of course, and then you're going, you got your two guards tackle in the center. The tackle is what they call the tackle box. And I know a lot of you people know what a tackle box is, but this is not the tackle box. The tackle box is between the center and the tackle. So if the quarterback backs up and he throws the ball out of bounds, he will get a flag because he has not attempted to get out of the tackle box unless as a running back or some type of skill player in the vicinity. So on the defensive side of the ball, is the rule of thumb is if a quarterback is rolling to his left or to his right, let's say we're in a 4-3, and the quarterback rolls to the, let's say he rolls to his right because he's right-handed. He rolls to his right, and he gets outside the tackle spot. Okay, if he leaves the tackle spot, now he is out of what they call the tackle box. So now he's free game for a lot of different things. Of course, they've changed the rules a lot. They don't want the quarterbacks to get hit, whatever. So, those are the positions that you have to look at. Okay. Now, I want to talk about, I'm going to come back and talk about, because I started talking about quarterback leaving the tackle box. Now we're going to talk about coverages. This is, once again, super easy, ladies and gentlemen, super easy. Just there's different, I know a lot of them, but we're going to talk about a few, okay? There's cover one, there's cover two, cover three, all right? And then there's cover four. We can go six, seven, eight, all that other stuff, but we're going to talk about these differences, okay? So in cover one is man-to-man. It goes across the board, you know. Corner's going to hook up with the receivers. Free safety's going to hook up with a receiver. Cover two is now it's kind of funny how about cover two, but now they call it Tampa two cover uh, uh, cup Tampa cover two, or Tampa two, because Tampa Bay used it, and then they just coin phrased it. But basically what Tampa two is the two safeties are deep, okay? They're usually 12 to 15 yards deep. Of course, the strong safety is over the tight end always. The free safety is opposite of that. Now, there's different rules, and then that's why it comes to different. The coverage number changes because it's based off of how these defensive backs are to cover. But in a basic Tampa 2, strong safeties and free safeties play hash mark to their side of the field. What they do is they split the ball in half, and from their side, from the ball to their side sideline, that's what they have, everything deep. The free safety will have from the center of the ball to everything deep all the way to the sideline. Anything 12 to 15 yard, anything from 12 to 15, anything deep like that, okay? Then you have your cornerbacks, okay? Your right and left cornerbacks. Your right and left cornerbacks have what you consider the flats. And I'll go over that in a minute. The flat area, they usually have, the corners usually have from zero, which is the line of scrimmage, all the way up to maybe, I would say, 10 yards. Okay, let's just say 10 yards for the 10-yard outs and the 10-yard the 10-yard outs or the 10-yard post and all that stuff, okay? Or even flags or smash marks. Excuse me. Now, let's go to the breakdown of the field, which is my favorite part. I love talking about the breakdown of the field, ladies and gentlemen. And that's because it educates you, these young people, and even, you know, for those listeners who don't really understand football, okay? So let's say we're on defense, and so the right-hand side of us, all right, we're on the right-hand side of the ball. And then you have the line of scrimmage, okay, from the tight end to the receiver, okay, from the tight end receiver, there's a lot of space. From the tackle, let's say we're in a regular I formation, the pro formation, I set, and the tight end's to the right, and then you have your tight end, and then you have your Z, and then you have your X, the tackle, and then your X, flex style, okay? So, zero would be the line of scrimmage. Anything from zero to about, I would say about 10, let's say, okay, up to 15 yards would, from the tight end all the way to the Z, okay, 15 yards forward, so from the line of scrimmage, count 15 yards, usually where the safeties usually sit, is the flat area, okay, the flat area. From the tackle to the egg, that would be considered the flat area all the way to the end of the line of scrimmage. Now, let's go back to the tight end. From the tight end to from the tight end going vertical all the way up to 15 yards, that would be considered a curl route. And that could go for the other side as well. If they had a tight end on the back side by the X and he's going vertical, I'm talking straight up the field. I'm not talking to the left or to the right. I'm going straight up the field. Those are the curl areas. And we'll talk about that in a quick second. The hook areas are in what we consider the middle. We'll say, all right, we'll just call it the middle. Okay, that middle linebacker area, that soft spot right underneath that middle linebacker where he drops back. Okay, then you've got the deep out thirds, which is anything 15 to about 20 yards, I would say 15, 20 yards. That's the deep outs. Are the back shoulder flat fade they have now, are smash routes. Then you have your post routes, the post route is always in the center, so it doesn't matter if it's anything. I just want to make this perfectly clear to some people because some people don't understand it. A post route is more than 10 yards. If it's shorter than 10 yards, then it's a slant. Anything greater than 10 yards is a post. You can run 10 yards and run 45-degree angle. That's that deep third area right behind the middle linebacker between the free safety and the strong safety of the inner tamper two. That's that sweet spot, okay? And there's also a route called a skinny post where it is not as sharp as the traditional post. And that skinny post is coming from that, depending on if they're flat, let's say it's the X, okay, on our right-hand side, he's coming. He's going to run 5 to 6 to 7 yards, and then he's going to kind of like start making his way towards the center, okay? That's a skinny post. When he starts getting that 15, he starts going away from the deep third of the outs. He starts to go in the middle. That's where we start talking about skinny posts, okay? If he runs a post route, that post route, he's going to put his foot in the dirt. He's going to plant his foot, and then he's going to angle it for that free safety or strong safety that's back there, because that's just the way it works. Because, see, when when a receiver's running their routes, they know that the linebackers and the free the linebackers and the secondary guys. Let me say this again. The linebackers read two quick hop steps forward. Secondary guys take two read steps and then they haul butt backwards. Okay, so the difference is that the linebackers go forward, the secondary guys go backwards. And so that gives that receiver the opportunity to read the hips and the angle of the shoulders of their defender based up off of what the coverage is and whatnot. Now that I've explained that, it's important to understand that the coverages in cover one, like I said, is man-to-man. So if you're going man-to-man, you're not switching off. You're not doing none of that stuff. If you're playing cover two, the two safeties are deep, okay? They're deep. They're both at least 12 to 15 yards, just depending on how far back the coaches tell them to get. If they're playing a cover three, and this is what I tell my kids, the difference between cover one, cover two, and cover three is cover three, the free safety is in the center of the ball and the strong safety is playing what they call a shade technique or a shade or just a shade, okay? The reason why it's called a shade is because when the strong safety is in the back with the free safety, it's a cloud because clouds hang out in the sky. When the shade is coming down, it's kind of like the mist, and so the strong safety is rolling up closer to the line of scrimmage towards the tight end side. Now there's less room on the strong side, but there's more room on the weak side, so they may go to the weak side or they may go to the strong side, just depending on the play, okay? So once again, cover one is man-to-man. Cover two, the safeties are back deep, 12 to 15 yards. Cover three, it looks like man-to-man, but it's not because a strong safety is shaded on the tight end. The cornerbacks are going deep, and so are the free safeties going deep. The strong safety is playing flats to the tight end side. The wheel linebacker is playing flats to the weak side. Now, you have to understand that everybody's taking a 45-degree angle except the free safety and the cornerback in cover three. The strong safety is taking a 45-degree angle from the line of scrimmage. The wheel linebacker is taking a 45-degree angle. The Sam linebacker is kind of taking a 45-degree angle. The middle linebacker is dropping back. So is the free safety, because the free safety is right behind, is right in front of the middle linebacker. And the middle linebacker is going to replace where the free safety is, and the free safety is going to get deeper than the receiver that's going for a route. So now let's talk about these combination routes, because in coverages they get confusing, and you're probably saying, well, isn't he supposed to be there? Is he supposed to be there? Okay. So what they have is called the stick route. Let's just go pro formation, I set. The fullback goes. The fullback goes into the flats on the right side. The tailback goes to the flats on the left side. The two receivers on the X and the Z run fly patterns. They're going straight down the field. And the tight end to the right-hand side is going to run what they call a stick route. So he's going to do an inside block. He's going to get right in front of the middle linebacker, right in front of the center, where the center would be, where the middle linebacker was, 5 to 6 yards deep. And that's a stick route, right in front of the quarterback. So now that we know that he's running a short route, then the quarterback will be dropping back either three-step drop. There's no or about it, because he's going 5 yards, he's going to only take 3 steps, and then he's going to throw the ball. If the stick was 10 yards, then the quarterback would be dropping back a 5-step drop. If the stick was at 15 yards, then the quarterback would be dropping back at least a seven-step drop, or he would be rolling to his right or to his left, or what they call a sprint. But because it's a stick route, and the stick is the primary route, then he's going to take a 7-step drop. That means he's going to drop straight back seven steps, and then you're going to reach the ball where the middle linebacker was, or where the middle linebacker vacated, if you will. Okay? So let's talk about this fullback coming into the flat. What does the Sam – see, the rule of thumb is when it comes to passing, if it's a running play and these linebackers – are looking at that, if it is not attacking their hole, then they're going to read the backflip. They're going to read the flow of the ball. What I'm referring to is we're still in a 3-4, okay? So those two middle linebackers that are in the B gaps, the fullback is going to the right. He is not attacking the B gap, the A gap. He's attacking the C or the D gap. So that means that the middle linebacker knows that there's nothing coming in the middle, because he reads from the guard, he reads from the tight end to the guard to the backfield. The other middle linebacker will also see that the A gap, B gap, and the C gap is not being attacked, and so thus he sees the running back going out into the flats. Then now his responsibility is to pick up the curl route, okay? And both of these middle linebackers are picking up curl routes, because there's no one middle linebacker, there's two middle linebackers, so they have to both, their responsibilities is to pick up the curl route. Now, the two outside linebackers, the Mike and the Wheel, have to pick up the flats. You say, George, what are you talking about? Then the strong safety supposed to pick up the flats? That's what you said. Yes, we're in cover three. The strong safety is playing a shade. So that means that if he's playing a shade, that means that the left side of the ball will either kick in the defensive end and into playing a three or two, either a two technique or a three technique, and the outside linebacker will play a six, are a five, and that strong safety will now be playing that wide nine. Now, at that point, you have more people on the left side of the ball than you do the right side of the ball. But that's okay, because now the strong safety can either blitz the quarterback, or the outside, I mean, or the strong linebacker can drop back in coverage, or vice versa. This is how you get your different coverages. Now, the receivers are running straight down the field, so we don't have to worry about them, and the free safety is playing center field. Okay? So now the two curl areas are covered, and the two flats are covered. One would be by the wheel linebacker, and the other one would be by the strong safety or the Sam linebacker. I have this on digits, so if you have any questions or you would like for me to send it to you, all you have to do is ask me. I can send it to you. It's not a big problem. Because trying to really get an understanding of what I'm saying and not seeing what I'm doing might be a little confusing if you have not a real idea of what's going on. Okay, so I want to take some time to talk about. Books that I use as far as defense. It's 1998 Illinois defensive book, 1998 fall season defensive book, playbook. And the reason why I like this playbook is because they break this down to the simplest molecule. I am telling you, it is a beautiful defensive playbook. They're very, very simple to the point. Even a baby can read it, okay? And the reason why I want to talk about this is because when I'm not really doing much, I just sit here and look at different things, and I learn something new every day. And I think about what I want to incorporate, what I don't want to incorporate. Will it be difficult? Will it be hard? And all those type of things. You know, it's just something that you have to have experimentation with as a coach. You know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. And if it does work, then keep it. If it doesn't, get rid of it. You don't have to be a hard thought about it. Just do it. Football is being under attack, and I know a lot of people have no idea what I'm referring to. There's so many different things that happens in football that you're not able to do anymore. Now, we talk about the safety of our kids and whatnot, which is true, but you also have to understand that football and I hate to use the word ever. Football is a living sport, just like all sports. So they're constantly moving and constantly changing. The ability of coaches and their thought processes are constantly changing, thus making other people want to go back to the drawing board to make the game better. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, and that's why you see some stuff stay around and other stuff go. But it's important that you understand that football is definitely under attack. In this one book, when we're talking about defense, okay, one thing that I tell my players is when it comes to the pass coverage, the quarterback will tell you everything you need to know. And the reason why I say that is because of his head placement and his body language. If he's going to throw a zero route, as soon as he gets the ball, he's going to open up to that zero route. Okay? If he's going to throw something short, he's going to take three steps, a three-step drop. If he's going to throw something that's 10 yards, he's going to take five-step drop. If he's going to go deep, he's taking a seven-step drop, okay? And depending on what, how his shoulders are angled, especially if he's dropping straight back, will indicate where he is going with the ball. Now, I know, you know, there's a difference. There's some kids who are very advanced and they can, you know, they can check off certain defenders and whatnot. They can even do that in high school. But it is up for the defender to have an idea when he's watching film from the quarterback of the week. If you're a parent, ask him, you know, have you noticed tendencies that the quarterback do? I mean, if you're interested in really involved in football, involved in your child's football career, because that, not only are you helping him tutor you, but you're also helping him teach the teacher. See, if he's teaching you, he's telling you that he understands the concept of what the coach is telling him. And so now if he's already read and bought into the concept of believing what the coach has said, I mean, this your child should be a phenom, as we call them in football world, because now he's not only a football player, but now he's a coach. And if he's able to do that for you, I mean, he has a really bright future. That means that his football IQ is very high. There's a difference between knowing football, understanding football, and having a big IQ. A lot of college kids doing the draft flunk those tests. I mean, they don't talk about it much, but they take football IQ tests to see their football scholastics. And if they can't really do well, you hear them talk about that. You hear them talk about that against Vince Young. He wasn't really, when it comes to that kind of, he wasn't really football savvy when it comes to paper. But you get him out on the field, and he'll tear it up. And so when you're talking about pass coverage, and you have your linebackers and your defensive backs, I'm specifically speaking for free safeties and strong safeties more than corners, because corners, all they got to do is just make sure they shut them down. And I will get to them on the outside because their job is difficult. But it's more difficult for those linebackers because if they don't shed those blocks, I mean, listen, you can't play with these guys. You got to get rid of the blocks immediately, because if they're leaning on you, that means somebody's running the ball a little bit further. Okay, so I just want you to keep that in mind. So we'll be looking at this a little bit more tomorrow. I'll probably talk about it a little bit more tomorrow in depth. Just depending on if I get any emails or whatnot, so I can wrap it up. Also, I want to let you know tomorrow we will be doing another show. Just stay tuned. I'll post when we're doing it. It's going to be good, like always. But, like I always say, be blessed. Go with God with peace, love, and unity. Next time I see you, you should be signing off. I'm George Beverly, and you have a good night.